Consequently, Etheria is a beautiful world, a fact which was emphasized repeatedly, and, as their words were always correctly recorded at the time, let us read what they told us once of the beauties of the world in which they live. If I could just take you by the still waters and through the green pastures, through our lovely gardens, and show you our hillsides, our mountain ranges, and all the beauties of this wonderful country. Flowers that bloom in all colors which you will never know in the earth life, and which never fade and decay. The beautiful birds that sing in the trees, without fear. It is a wonderful country, and I worship the thought of the mighty chief who made it all, the happy hunting ground. I found, when I came to this side, dear friends, it was not a hunting ground, unless it was hunting for friends known on earth, and who were as anxiously seeking for me. The foregoing was said by a Red Indian, but a Scotsman, who had lived and died in Glasgow, put it thus when speaking to his daughter who was present, I wish I could just transport your vision to the great beauties of the Summerland and show them to you all. There are no words of mine, I cannot just put it in the way I would like, that can describe the beauty and the calm majestic grandeur of the beautiful lands which we visit. Ours is a beautiful world, it is just gorgeous. The Glasgow Botanical Gardens are not to be compared with the exquisite gardens we have here. Another native of Glasgow, now in that beautiful world, told her sister who was present, Oh, Jean, it is beautiful, and I have such a dear little cottage to stay in with a beautiful garden. I had never seen such a lovely garden before with glorious flowers of all colors, flowers that you never see on earth, and they do not fade. They bloom all the time, and, when you pick them, others just seem to come in their place. What beautiful perfumes they have. And, Jean, there is honeysuckle growing up at each side of my door, masses of it. I just wish you could see it, it is so lovely, but you will see it someday, dear. I will show it to you. The husband in Etheria of a lady present once spoke these words to his wife, My darling, I wish I could find adequate words to describe to you the beautiful country that, in God's love and goodness, I have been allowed to land in. Across the borderline I am reunited with you and those whom I loved so well while in earth life. Be steadfast and true. Keep fighting onwards, never get downhearted. There is a bright day coming. A lady present was told this by a friend in Etheria, I would fain have you see the beautiful home where I dwell, far superior to anything I knew in earth life. I was in a humble position in my earth life, but the good father, as I was told, had prepared this place for me, which I attained to in a short time. I listened patiently to all that the big teachers had to say in the auditorium, and I found the way, the pathway that led to my beautiful home on the spirit side of life. It is just the place I would have desired had I chosen it for myself. When I once asked about the vegetation, I received the reply, "Our vegetation is something similar to yours, but much more beautiful." A schoolmaster present once heard this said in front of him during a long conversation with a friend on the other side. We cannot all enjoy the same appreciation of the beauties round about us. Some things appear more beautiful to one than to another, and we carry that feeling over here until we advance further in this lovely land towards perfection. Their mental development in Etheria determines more than it does here their attitude to their surroundings. As they think, so they are. And undeveloped people are on lower planes than those more developed. To reach the higher life each mind must unfold, as this Etherian discovered well. It was a disappointment to me when I came over, because I was a long time on the spirit side of life before I realized I was actually out of the body. The surroundings were so similar to Earth's surroundings, and I had not been taught to expect that. Then I thought I would be with my old friends that I had liked so much. And I was not. The most remarkable thing was that there were some people whom I had not cared for much in earth life who were my best friends on this side. You know, I wanted to get beside my darling old mother, but discovered that I had a long way to travel before I could do so. She came and spoke to me. She was the first to greet me when I came here, but I could not go with her. One of the sitters here remarked that he thought that once we had passed over there was no separation from those we loved. To hear in reply, I am telling you, of course, of my earliest experiences on this side of life. I have progressed much since then and I am now often with my mother, though I have not advanced sufficiently to be with her always. I am much with my father also. It is a beautiful country I am now living in. The universe unfolds as our mind develops. As it develops, we advance from plane to plane. So, when one of us once remarked that there seemed to be no limit to our progress, the friend on the other side who was speaking exclaimed, "You have struck the key, sir. According to what I am learning over here, there is no limit to our surroundings. Of course, I have not advanced very far as yet, and have not had much experience." On another occasion, a departed friend of one of the sitters confessed, "I did not understand this truth in earth life, you know what I mean, and it now presses on my soul with a gladness and joy that is overwhelming. I am bursting to tell you about the beauties of this land which I did not believe existed." He repeated this confession of his enlightenment when speaking to us at another seance. "You know, I went over in Doubting Street, but I landed in such a lovely, lovely home, far beyond my deserts." Here we come to the end of what our etheric friends had to tell us about the world in which they live. There, with their minds more powerful, and yet more sensitive, than are our minds on earth, they can control and appreciate their surroundings in a way impossible for us to understand. To the good these are beautiful, to the wicked the reverse. To be able to determine their surroundings by thought, and yet to have a mind so sensitive that our thoughts on earth can be picked up if they so desire, reveals a higher state of being than exists on earth. Here, mind is greatly subject to the body, there the body is subject to the mind. Here, mind is so in subjection to substance that thought has not the same power and influence as it has there, where to think is to be. As the mind is, so is the state of being. Nevertheless, their substance, though not material, is real and tangible at a much higher frequency, or state of vibration, than is physical substance, and their minds can therefore play upon it, mold it, and use it in a way we cannot do with matter on earth. This information we can only accept as best we can, and someday enlightenment will come for everyone. Meantime, we shall proceed and read in the next chapter what they had to tell us about the conditions in which they live. Chapter 9, Conditions in the Other World. We have just been reading about the nature of the other world. Now we shall learn about the conditions in which Aetherians live. Their minds, as we have discovered, control their lives, and they can move easily from place to place. The good cannot live with the evil, or the evil with the good, as a mental barrier protects the good from the bad. Aetherians can mold their surroundings by thought in a way we cannot imagine, and they can be where they wish to be so easily that the conditions in which they live are in this respect greatly different from ours on earth. Nevertheless, though it is largely a mental world, yet it is not a dream world, as all on the same plane experience the same way of life. Their countryside, its climate, its scenery, its houses and vegetation are the same to all on the same plane, and its people are individuals like those we come in contact with each day on earth. This I know, because I inquired, and this is what I was told. Our world is very real to us, but the conditions in which we find ourselves depend on the condition of our mind. If we wish it, we can be surrounded by beautiful country. Our mind plays a large part in our life here. Just as we live in surroundings suitable to our mental development, so we also attract to ourselves minds of the same type as our own. Like attracts like in this world, so also like attracts like so far as your world and our world are concerned. The evil-minded here are attracted by the evil-minded in your world, and the good here by the good with you. We can, at will, take on earth conditions by lowering our vibrations. Our bodies become heavier and more perceptible to the human eye, which accounts for our being seen at times by those who have the faculty on earth of sensing our vibrations. When I once asked if they lived together on a surface as we do on earth, I was told the general answer is yes, but it must be remembered that there are earth-bound souls who do not arrive at the first plane without assistance, and in some cases for a very considerable time, so far as time is reckoned on earth. There are special places for children to be brought up in, as well as healing stations for those who come over, and other healing stations for those living on the first plane. But the word place does not quite signify the same thing as is meant by it on the earth plane. What are called the higher planes are reached by mental development, because the individual mind has fitted the etheric body to be in harmony with that more exalted form of life. The vibrations of these higher planes are more frequent than those of the lower planes, and life there is consequently more intense. So we once heard the following: we use our own thought vibrations to reach the higher planes. You know there are planes and planes on our side of life that I have not evolved to yet, and to which I cannot hope to attain for a long time to come, but I have had conversations with, and the company of, those who live on these planes. They are able to come to us, but we cannot go to them till we evolve a little higher. Those in harmony with the lower plane find the next higher plane too intense for comfort and cannot live there, but those in the higher planes can come back to the planes of lower vibration by mental concentration. We lower our vibrations by mental effort. It is easy for those on a higher plane to go to the lower, but those in the lower cannot go to those in the higher. Those coming from higher planes bring with them their atmospheric, or rather their etheric, vibrations. Mental development brings about a classification of the inhabitants of the various planes which make up Etheria. Each one determines where he or she will live. The desire for mental harmony brings together those who think alike, but love is a strong force of attraction. When we were discussing the power of love on one occasion, someone asked the Etherian who was speaking if one could always be with the person loved. He replied, "Yes, if you are in the same vibration spiritually, that is so. If not, they can be often with us, but we cannot live in their surroundings." There is what we term here a classification. We are among the friends we are worthy of being with immediately. If we have lived a good and worthy life on earth, we immediately go into a condition consistent with the life we have led. We would not be happy if we were in a condition we were not attuned to. You can move to a different home in the old world, according to your tastes and position, but a different method obtains here, where we can only go to the place and condition we have attained spiritually. This answer was confirmed on another occasion in these words: there is a place, an allotment, for all classes when you shuffle off this mortal coil. It is up to everyone to make their own paradise on this side by the life you live while in the body. Though there is a place for everybody, yet those who live on different planes meet each other, as the following answer to a question makes clear: certainly, I have met your father. I see him frequently, though we are not living in the same country as it were. We are on different planes. Family life often continues, and love seems to be a stronger force there than here. Their affection for loved ones on earth is very noticeable, and the pleasure they get in speaking to friends and relations on earth can easily be observed by the tone of voice. We are all one family, all brothers and sisters, and we acquire the knowledge that the great teacher wants us to obtain. We must stay in the surroundings we find ourselves in until we acquire the knowledge necessary to pass to higher planes, and, having ability to rise, we obtain the counsels of the great leaders. There are things you cannot know until you come to this side of life, educated as you are, as you have all become, and as we all must become in time. Many are surprised on arrival in Etheria, as ignorance of the subject on earth is so profound that few know anything of value. Religious creeds may help the dying, but they are of no help to the new arrivals who have been taught superstition during their earth lives and not what is true. Such is evidently what this Etherian thought: when I came here, it was not what I expected. I thought I was going right into the kingdom of heaven right away, and was disappointed, but I did find I was in the kingdom of friends right away. I am only speaking of my own experience, remember. I was just an ordinary fellow in my earth life, and did not think much at all of the life to come, and when I did get here I expected to have all those I had loved beside me always, but that did not happen. He, like so many, had probably relied on a savior to secure for him a place in the kingdom of heaven, little realizing that no scapegoat can suffer for our sins and wickedness, and that as we live on earth so shall we be hereafter. We go to the place for which we are mentally fitted. As someone on the other side once told a gentleman visitor to the circle, there are many from the spheres beyond who come to my plane, but I cannot go to theirs, and you will find there are many of your loved ones, who love you well, who will be on a different sphere from you, and until you rise to a condition of spirit equal to theirs you cannot be in constant contact with them, though you may have them often in your company. A relation of one of the sitters once gave this description of Etheria in reply to a remark made by someone present: "We often go long walks, it is a beautiful country. I wish I could explain to you the scenes, beyond scenes which open to one's view. Well, sir, the vistas and scenes on this side of life, I cannot call them anything other than different worlds, are so vast, worlds and worlds beyond worlds, and all vibrating at different rates of movement, higher and higher vibrations, but all is happiness and joy complete. Sometimes we radiate in the surroundings of those whom we have known for a long time but who have gone on, and spend a beautiful time with them just as you would do in earth life when going to visit friends, and then we come back to our associations again. Do you pass through a second death to have this experience?" he was asked. "I am speaking about visiting these places, but we always return. It is all done by radiation, by vibration, and when we go on a visit we cannot go by ourselves, we have not the power, but friends from these spheres come for us and lend, or put forth, some of their own power to enable us to attain these higher levels for a short period only. We could not stay until we have attained that degree of spirituality which would enable us to live there without discomfort. We enjoy these brief visits. They are so edifying, so beautiful, but I am always glad to get back to my own surroundings where I live amongst friends more attuned to my own condition." During a conversation with her grandfather, a lady present was told, "Most people who come to the spirit side of life expect to be in the same surroundings all the time as the ones they loved on earth. That certainly is so in many instances. It all depends on how spiritually you are akin to each other, but often those we have loved dearly are too far advanced for us to reach them. They can be with us certainly, but cannot take us with them. We have just to wait a little until we attain the condition whereby we can travel and understand the surroundings where we are going. God bless you." Some remarks were once passed, amongst the sitters, about our difficulties as wartime travelers, when a loud etheric voice broke in and said, "We can get about with much less trouble over here. We, what you might say, annihilate space on this side, those who have advanced to any extent, I mean. If we are doing our duty, and doing the Master's will, by one thought we can transport ourselves from the spirit side of life, right down into your own homes. That is chiefly by doing the will of the advanced spirits who are helping us. We can only come so far, and then they take up the thread and give us the necessary power." The expression "the Master's will" can be taken to mean keeping within the law, as law and order exist there as here. Natural law prevails, and, when they have learned to understand it, travel is easy. This is what the medium's wife once told her husband during a long conversation with him: "If I could only describe to you the lovely walks we have sometimes. We never tire. To cross the beautiful lakes, we can either go in a similar thing to a boat, or just be wafted over. And the fruits and the flowers, and the beauty of the verdure of the country, the magnificent feeling of well-being that one has. I wish you could just feel it. There is no waste and no decay. The flowers just fade away. You never see them decay, and then fresh ones come in their place, not in full bloom, but starting from the root." A lady sitter once asked her sister, who was speaking to her from the other side, if a certain relation she named was with her, to receive this reply, which also confirms what was said above: "Not today, but I see her from time to time. We often go. It is difficult to tell you I was going to say long walks in the beautiful summerland. We both loved walking, as you know, and we do not forget, dear. When we feel that we have a hill to go up, we just think of being at the top, and that takes us right up, where we can view the beauties of the spirit land. We just start off from the point we are most suited for, and have not seen the great master so far. But those that have been here for a very long time tell us of the beauties and the splendors that we have still to behold." A man who, when on earth, was a prominent spiritualist in Glasgow and a regular sitter in the early days of the Sloane Circle, returned from time to time, and once remarked about the many who were sorrowing for those they had lost through death. He concluded his remarks with these words: "It would be a consolation to them if they knew what you know about the spirit side of life. The life of peace, of security, as I have found it. I am free to roam across the great vast spaces of the spirit land insofar as my progression permits, this beautiful and wonderful land, dropping in now and again to give you a little message of love on the earth sphere. God bless you. The medium's wife, a regular member of the circle when on earth, once expressed her great pleasure in returning to earth and rejoining her old friends. I enjoy it the same as when I was on earth. I can tune into you so well, and hear the familiar sound of your lovely voices which were so sweet to me in the old days. Then addressing by name one of the ladies present, she remarked, "Your dear mother does not forget things now, you know, and I have many nice walks with her." At the same seance, this once forgetful mother of the lady present remarked to her daughter, "Don't think that I am faltering and feeble now, but I just take on the vibrations of how I felt before leaving the body. I will show you round my favorite places. I come for you often and take you away in your sleep, and I wish you could bring back some memory of the beauties of the country I am in. We have gardens everywhere, you know. Father is very, very busy. You know he is a man that would never be at rest unless he was doing something for somebody, and he is like that yet. At present he has plenty of opportunities, you know, to work for those on our side. The spirit side is teeming with those who are wandering about. I hardly know how to put it, but they are coming over so quickly through this terrible strife, and need some guidance, and Father is helping there. The stress they put on their beautiful scenery and vegetation is worthy of notice. Etheria must be a paradise for flower lovers, and ardent gardeners on earth have much to which they can look forward." A much esteemed lady now in Etheria, still looked on as a friend by most of the sitters, once remarked, "There is perpetual growth, and no death, just a fading, and another springs up, just a facsimile of the one before, or more beautiful sometimes, just as in the human frame. When you shuffle off this mortal coil and put on immortality, it is then you will expand, and go forward to the peace, the beauties of the land, the summer land of God." The mother of one of the sitters once said, "It is just myself, and it is fine to speak to you across the border line. Your flowers are just beautiful, my dear, but they are nothing to what we have on our side. They can beat them all together. God bless you, my dear." A very homely remark was once made to a lady present by her great uncle, David Johnston, about himself and the lady's mother in Etheria. "I am as happy as you could wish me to be, and that is saying a good deal. And now, my dear, dear Chrissy, I do wish you could see me and your mother Davy and Mrs. Colclown going off for a stroll. What are you laughing at? We have far lovelier scenery than you ever see on your side of life. It is similar but far more beautiful. The colors are magnificent, and there is no decay. It just seems to fade away. You see the growth from the bottom, just as you do in earth life, and when it comes to full maturity, it just vanishes." When a sitter was speaking to a number of relations now in the other world, she asked her great-grandfather if he saw much of her father. He replied, "Certainly, but they were not living on the same plane. Each was in what might be termed a different country." Then he continued, "I may be more advanced now, but I was further back than he was to start with. We are both in beautiful surroundings, but they are different. I have much to thank God for, especially those who helped me when I first came over, because I was not sure, friends, ladies and gentlemen, where I was going. It is a lovely land I am living in." Once a lady present received this personal message from a friend in Etheria. Calling her by her correct pet name, she remarked, "I am with your mother and had such a lovely walk with her before we came here, through a very beautiful part of paradise. Do you know what we were talking about? Your mother said to me, 'If Chrissy just knew how happy I am sure her heart would be glad and she would not worry about me.'" A lady in Etheria, in the course of conversation, spoke about someone known to one of the sitters. She named him correctly, and went on, "I was with him before I came here. He took me for a beautiful walk in my country, which he told me he had not believed existed before he came here to this side of life. When he came to our side of life, he found a world which he had not known was there, and I told him all about it. So he said, 'Well, you will be my guide and take me some days for walks, and now I believe in this side of life.' A lady in Etheria first gave her name, and spoke to her sister who was present. After referring to the talks they had about the other world when she was on Earth, she continued with these words: "Yes, but I do not think I just understood it. I think you had a better grip of it, Janie, than I had. But, when I came into reality, into the beautiful home on this side of life, then I knew it was real." In the course of conversation, a friend on the other side concluded, "You will do that, I know, and you will find a home so very beautiful and wonderful that my tongue cannot describe it. I was singing with you tonight when you sang that beautiful little hymn you have just sung." A very dignified voice once spoke, claiming to be that of a man who had been a Red Indian chief on Earth. He came often, and was always recognized by the tone of his cultured voice. The wife of one of the sitters had passed on, and the Indian addressed him in these words: "I know very well how you feel. I have sat in the lonely wigwam myself, and I know what it is when those you love have gone away, but it was not long before my dear one came to me." "So you knew about survival when you lived on Earth?" came the reply from the gentleman addressed. "I always knew that I was going to the Summerland, and that someday I would meet my squaw again. I found that it was so." It is a beautiful thought, ladies and gentlemen, to know that you are going to pick up your dear ones on the other side of life, and, oh, I would like to tell you of the beauties of the country. Language fails me to describe the wonderful glories of this beautiful land that you are coming to. God bless you, my friends. You will run and not weary. You will walk and not faint. You will drink of the crystal waters that run by the side of the way. You will eat of the fruits, more glorious even than the fruit of the grape of the world. A profusion of fruits and flowers that I could not describe to you." A lady present inquired, "But you don't eat them, do you?" "Of course we eat them. Not in the way you eat them here in the body, but we do enjoy them." Which fits in with the reply I once got at another seance to the same question. "Yes, we eat and drink, but it is not what you mean by eating and drinking. To us it is a mental condition. We enjoy it mentally, not bodily as you do." Once, when we were discussing the houses in which they live, someone asked if the beautiful flowers they so often spoke about could be picked and used to decorate their houses. "This is what we were told: oh, certainly, you can decorate your homes, your houses where you live, with anything you like, and, if you are passing some place, and have seen some particular flower, and thought I would like to have that flower in my garden, when you return home you will find it there. The spirit overseer of the various plants and flowers will bring the same plant to grow in your garden, without you troubling about it." "Where do you put the flowers you take into your houses?" asked a practical inquirer. "We just put them in a vase the same as in your own house, and you don't need to worry about breaking the vases, because you cannot break them." "And do the flowers require water?" asked the same person. "We have a liquid, but it is not exactly water. We have the equivalent of many material things here. It would not be a real home life, if you had not the same things as you had in Earth life. You see the flowers growing up here, so very beautiful, and fading away when they come to full maturity. There is no waste or decay." My sister-in-law once told me this about what we would call water. "Our world is very much like yours. When I arrived, first of all I saw a beautiful little waterfall and went and put my hand under the water. When I pulled my hand away it was quite dry, and I did not feel the water. When we bathe in our sea we get all the pleasure and exhilaration of bathing, but we are never wet, and come out of the water quite dry." When I asked if they came through their own surface to come back to Earth, she replied, "We come back to Earth through our own surface. But it was just a question of tuning into the vibrations of the different surface levels. Yes, we have towns and villages and everything is very beautiful, and we never have any darkness." That Etheria is very much like our world in appearance was confirmed on another occasion, when a friend of one of the sitters told us this about the world in which he lives: "It is just like your own world, and I have never desired to progress any further until I get some of my own people over with me." It was a consolation to me to have some of my own people meeting me, although they did not stay with me, and I cannot go where they are. But I am quite content meantime where I am. It is a beautiful place I am in, and I am doing my little best to help the boys who are coming over, to show them the best way out of their difficulties. A lady sitter once remarked about 70 long years when talking to her grandfather. He laughed and said, "I am laughing at you, my dear, hearing you talk about 70 long years. It is only a span, just a wink on this side. It seems no time since you were a wee bit perky, smart kind of a lassie running around with your wee short skirts. I feel very happy that I have managed to get the conditions which are present here tonight."